So all year long, we've been talking about one theme: ordinary people, extraordinary God. And we've been talking about people from Scripture that we think, oh, they're extraordinary. No, they were ordinary. But they had an experience with an extraordinary God, and we can do the same. Now, we've been talking this month about Jesus. The entire month, we've been talking about Jesus, tying all that up, because he was both at the same time. He was an ordinary person, but he was also extraordinary God. That's an amazing combination, and sometimes it's hard to define. That's either cheating, being both at the same time, or horribly difficult. Because, as we all know, I'm very ordinary. But I also have within me the Holy Spirit, the 100% God. And I should be a lot of times going, woohoo! And instead, I find this constant conflict. Matt talked about it last week. We've got the Holy Spirit. The disciples did not. Paul would write in the book of Romans, it's literally like being at war with yourself. Being ordinary, sinful human and having 100% God within us. Paul literally says, here's how hard it is. It's like being at war with yourself mentally. And it is, right? Ordinary, but we have 100% God in a sin versus righteousness, where we're constantly at war with ourselves. Now listen, I totally get it. I am not alone in this in my profession, but my daughter says all the time, Dad, I don't know why you have your job. You hate people. It's not that I hate people. I hate what they do. And I won't instantly go from righteousness to maybe sin or not in the parking lot at Walmart. Hear me out. Because when I'm walking into a Walmart, there are doors that say, enter. Enter in our language. Enter. And I will walk to those doors, and like using the force, they fly open, and I go to take a step in, and someone is walking out the entrance. And I just stare at them. And I will stand there, and I will do this. I'll go, and they want me to move. And I go, nope. Right? I will instantly judge you if you are walking out the door. Or if I'm leaving Walmart after a couple hours and I'm walking out and you are coming in the exit. What? I've had people mad at me for walking in or out the right door. I will instantly go into judgment. But to be honest with you, I'll go into condemnation. Oh, I hope. Burn, right? And that's what we're known as Christians. The condemnation people. We were never called to be known as the condemnation people. We were called to be the people that love, right? And I am constantly at war with myself. My rules, the way that I think life should be, God's love in the way he says that I should be. And we're constantly at war with each other, right? Why has the church become known for its condemnation and not compassion? Even then, sometimes we can express our compassion, we can do the right thing and still be known as the wrong people, right? We can still be known, even though we're doing the compassionate thing, as the wrong people. Jesus, by the way, ends up on a lot of people's list. Are you on someone's list? Because I know I am, right? There's groups that do not want me back. I'm on lists, and Jesus throughout this entire story has been good. You get a healing, you get a healing, popular, popular, popular. And today he ends up on a list for doing the right thing, for exposing God, light in the midst of darkness. So what do we do in those moments? How do we as ordinary people rely on an extraordinary God in those moments and can be okay with people looking at us and hating us for being believers? Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 8. If you have a Bible that you got to flip through, it's toward the back of your Bible, about two-thirds of the way through. You'll find it, or tap that app. Matthew, as we talked about, is one of the disciples. He wrote a letter to his own people. Dear Jewish nation, here's who God was. Here's who Jesus was. And so he writes from that perspective. He was there when all this stuff happened. If you want to get on someone's list for being a believer, do it deliberately. Verse 28. When he arrived at the other side in the region of Gardenom, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent. How violent were they? They were so violent that no one could pass that way. Matt, last week while I was gone, brilliantly pointed out that the disciples had to choose whether to get into the boat with Jesus. Hey, Jesus, I want to follow you. We're homeless. Okay, I'm out. Hey, Jesus, I want to follow you, but let me bury my dad. That'll take care of itself. I'm out. They'd never been more popular. Partway through chapter 8, they were riding high, right? Healing, 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 healing. And they had to choose. They had to be very intentional, very deliberate about following Jesus. And I think sometimes we take following Jesus for granted. Oh, I'm a Christian. Okay, I'll follow. And it's a daily, sometimes moment by moment, deliberate decision. I'm going to follow. But as you know, when you make that decision to truly follow Jesus, you're ending up on someone's list. Right? It disturbed my family when I became a believer. I lost friends becoming a believer. Golly, I'm screwed up enough, but I lost reputation. There's story that people believe out there, right? Now, I want you to notice in this verse, there are two very intentional things that it mentions about Jesus. The first is where he went. I don't know what the name of that town is, so I'm calling it Gardenom. He had to get in a boat to go there. He intentionally got into a boat, went across the water to get there. He could have just sat there, soaked in all the glory and woo, got thing. But he intentionally got into a boat. He got out of his comfort and went there. Do you really think it's by accident that he gets out of the boat and these two bros who are demon-possessed just happen to be there? The God that loves you will go out of his way to find you. He'll leave it all behind. Oh, they're hurting. I'm on my way. I love that about him. He got into a boat, went across whatever lake it was to Gardenom. Here's the two guys. I'm sure there were other ways to get into this town. Nope, let's walk through the cemetery. He is so deliberate about those things. I love that. He will go out of his way to meet you where it hurts. These guys had to live in the cemetery. And anybody that tried to walk past there, the verse says that they were so violent. Once you've been somewhere and you're like, nope, not doing this again, you know, like middle point, you're like, nope, just skipping it. If you want to get on someone's list, get to the issue of their pain. Go right to where their pain is. And a lot of times they will react very poorly. Okay, speaking of lists, and as you know, had a birthday recently, and I celebrate it with my dad sitting on a couch watching the recording of The Voice. What has happened to this man? Who is this? And he's telling me about the singers, and I'm like, what? And then we watched two NASCAR races. So, my birthday, everybody. It is becoming increasingly more difficult to me in a social media world to bite my lip when I see professed believers either living in direct defiance of God's word or supporting something that is in direct defiance of God's word or living a lifestyle that is in direct opposition of God's word and yet claiming to be a follower of his. And I want to just go, Wah! That works on social media, doesn't it? My prayer life has gotten better, but my frustration has not. Does that make sense? And I'm constantly trying to stay ahead of it. Okay, sooner or later, Facebook and Twitter, no one will care. They'll call up MySpace 2.0. What's coming next? To try to stay on top of it. But guys, the stuff that we put on social media, and it makes me wonder, the stuff I put on social media, do I end up on someone's list? Right? Am I intentionally using these opportunities that we put things out there that people know beyond a shadow of a doubt we are followers, and we're being very deliberate about it? But the problem is you get a dope like me that shows up and says, let's talk about what's troubling you. Who are you to judge me? Two demon-possessed guys that beat up people. Okay, let's talk about that. Whoa! Don't question my lifestyle. Who are you to question my choices? We got to be very deliberate about how we follow. So there are some things we got to drive out. Look at verse 29. What do you want with us, Son of God? They shouted. This is not these guys. There are people that literally, the minute you talk to them or get around them, they scream their pain at you. They literally just scream their pain at you. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? That's weird. Verse 30. Oh, this is the worst. Some distance from them was a large herd of pigs feeding. Yummy in my tummy. Verse 31, the demons beg Jesus, if you drive us out, send us into those herd of pigs. He said to them, verse 32, go! And the worst verse in the Bible. So they came out, went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. What kind of God kills bacon? Tell me about no loving God. That kills bacon? You know how many bacon different flavored things I got in my house? Not many, because they're almost gone. I will put bacon bits on bacon. Love me some bacon. And it shows. Right? Why would an extraordinary God destroy food and people's livelihoods? God, with these ordinary men who are possessed by demons, this extraordinary God says, oh yeah, that's a good idea. I'll destroy people's property. I'll destroy their livelihoods. What? That does not seem to make sense. And then I remember, God, this is literally a conversation that what's-her-name and I had when I finally got back from my dad's. Okay, this is literally a conversation that we had. Hey, would you ever consider moving to the country? And I said, this is Van Wert County. Where's this country that you speak of? Because I just came from Appalachia. Cities, country. Here, cities, corn. What is this country that you speak of? What in the world? And this verse alone got me thinking, what has it cost me to follow Jesus? This is not what I intended on doing for a profession. And it makes me wonder if I were still, after 30-some years, the assistant director of Big Brothers and Big Sisters in Canton, Ohio. Man, I love that job. Man, I loved going into people's houses, these single moms, single dads with their kids, and connecting them to people that are willing to say, you have value, you are loved, I want to spend time with you. I loved that job. It was also $11,000 a year, but I loved that job. Usually did about 90 to 95 hours a week. I loved that job. And God said, nah, let's get rid of your livelihood. I want you to do this. Sometimes following God means there's things we've got to drive out. And I had to drive out the sense that I was in control of my life. Right? And I know you're thinking, please, God, call him again. Get him out of here. What are you willing to give up to drive out to be healed? What are you willing for him to just destroy? What demons are controlling you? And is it time to just drive them out? All right, final thing. You're going to end up on someone's list for doing the right thing. And all I can tell you is just dust the sand off your sandals. That's what Jesus told the disciples when they went out. If people don't buy into it, they don't like it, just dust the sand off your sandals. If you've never worn sandals in sand and have never gotten back into your car or minivan and driven off knowing you got all the sand off, to come back the next day and shovel sand out of your car because somehow there's still sand there, it's not easy. Look at verse 33. Those tending the pigs ran off. I bet they did. Went into town and reported all of this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Verse 34. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they said, "Woo, God! Hallelujah! What a great God! Whoa, those guys were demon-possessed. He used to beat me up. Woo-hoo, God! You're awesome!" And they broke out in song. Is that what the verse says? And when they saw him, they pleaded with Jesus to leave. See that part? I highlighted that part. They pleaded with him to leave. Their region. Nothing makes people madder than God showing up and doing something great for his glory in healing people that ticks people off. Literally, God wants to show up out of nowhere, deliberately coming to find someone to heal them. Well, not in my church. Well, the bylaws say to be healed, you have to, we got to vote on that. Nothing ticks off the American church greater than God showing up going, boo. Get out of here. And we do it all the time. Hey, I think today's the day you really need to say something to them. Get out of here, God. I really think today's the day you need to deal with that hurt. That's just get out of here. Right? And we do it all the time. We do it all the time. You know what Jesus did, by the way? When they said, get out of here, did he argue with them? Did he give them some lesson? Did he say, well, I'm the Messiah, I can do whatever I want? What did he do? Anybody know? Okay. And then people get mad at me when I don't chase them. Well, you never told me. Well, you never came back. Right? And on top of that, it's Van Wert. I hear what you've been saying. You dust the sand off your sandals, and you move on. Us being ordinary people with an extraordinary God that lives within us, calling us to do extraordinary things by his strength and his authority and his power, it's not always going to go well. It's not. You're going to have family members reject you. You're going to have spouses that will reject you. You will have friends that will reject you. You will have teachers that will reject you. And that's why we're the island of misfit toys. If they reject you, we'll love on you, right? Because that's what God does for us. He knew he'd be rejected. And still, he said, I don't care, I'm going to do this. I care enough about those two guys over your economy, over your livelihood, all that other stuff. I care about those two guys more than anything else in this moment, healed. And it ticks a bunch of people off. Let's be the church that ticks people off. Because God is on such a move that people come here, they get healed, they leave and go, you are not going to believe what just happened. And it ticks someone off. Let's make posters. JRCC, the church that ticks people off. Because God is on the move in such a way that he will go out of his way to find you and to heal you. Right? And he did. By dying on a cross. Took all of our sins, healed us. Listen, there's things going on in this body that I want healed. That for whatever reason he has said no. He healed my soul. Right? He healed my soul. So as we get ready to take communion this morning, let's think about that. What we're willing to give up to follow him. The cost that we're willing to pay because he paid the price first, right? Let's pray. Father, we love you, and as we come into this communion time, I pray that as we examine ourselves, like the scriptures say, we're going to find ourselves falling short, and that's not what I want us to focus on, God. The people here have given up so much. They gave up an hour or more to just come and hang out. That's amazing to me. I love this giving church. So God, in this communion time, we reflect on what you've called us to give up, recognizing that it doesn't match what you gave up, your son. so that his broken body and his shed blood can be recognized this morning. Thank you for your grace. Let's stand together. We're going to have an invitation time where if you want to, and I encourage you to, you are those two guys this morning that Jesus has gone out of his way to find so that you can be healed. There's so much that we're going through this morning, guys. Let's just come down, give it up to him, and people that have been there before will gather around you and pray with you. But let's praise him this morning. You come down as you feel led.
So will I.
So God, this morning, we are so thankful that you never leave us behind. God, I pray for the one this morning that feels more like the two demon-possessed guys. Not in control of their life, their emotions, how they hurt others. You know who they are. I'm so glad you'll go out of your way to find us when we're like that. Help us look for those who are hurting, God, so we can share our story about how you found us and healed us in an extraordinary way. In Jesus' name I pray.